If we return to Psalm 147, we're going to think about the weather today. So let's read from verse 15 to 18 as we begin. Psalm 147, verse 15, God sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. Well, according to the BBC, so it must be right, speaking about the weather is the nation's favourite conversation. It probably is right. We live in a nation where the weather varies wildly, not just with seasons, not just even from day to day, but we can have four seasons in a day in our climate in Scotland. And it's one of the great factors of living in this country that the weather varies so much. We therefore talk about it when all other topics of conversation fail. There's always the weather. But I hope you're not sitting there thinking, well, Roddy must have run out of things to preach because he's talking about the weather and he's preaching now. Well, I'm never going to run out of things to preach. There's plenty in the Bible, that's for sure. But it's a very topical subject, and it's actually something the Bible has a great deal to say about. So you open the curtains this morning, and what met you? Well, it wasn't raining. The wind was not present either. Maybe there was a little bit of sunshine. It was still. It was bright. Perhaps, depending where you were, you could see frost on the grass. What did you think? Maybe you were just grateful that it was a more settled day after some of the rough days we've had recently. Did you feel your spirits lift a little, thinking about a more pleasant day than some of the days, again, we've had recently? Perhaps in your heart, did you say a quiet thanks to God for the new day and look forward to it? Look forward to being outside and feeling the freshness of the air on your face. Did you think any deeper about it? Did you think about what's going on when the weather comes to us? Like, is it just a random thing? Or does it have a deeper meaning or a deeper source? I don't suppose you thought, oh, there's a chance Roddy might be preaching on the weather this morning, so I better think about it more deeply today. But it's something you can think about deeply. Weather, as I say, crops up in the Bible quite a bit. It's interesting that the weather that's mentioned in the psalm here doesn't include sunshine. Because I guess that for the people of Israel, sunshine was very much wall to wall most of the time. And it was other kinds of weather that caught their notice. Weather that was very important. For example, verse 8, when the clouds came and the rain fell so that the crops could grow, so there'd be food for the cattle and the finest of wheat in verse 14. Or less usual kinds of weather, like verse 16, the snow or the frost or the hail or an icy wind. Quite unusual parts of Israel. for ourselves. There are plenty of things, plenty of different kinds of weather. Thunder and lightning. There's another one that isn't mentioned here. All kinds of different winds. But is it just something that's happening for no apparent reason? Or is there a meaning we're meant to understand out of it? Is there a purpose in the weather? I'm going to ask three people today what they think of the weather. I'm going to ask the weatherman first of all, Mr. Weatherman, or Mr. Meteorologist, but it's easier to say weatherman. I'm going to ask Mr. Plucktonian, because his opinion is very important. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Psalmist. We'll spend a bit more time with him, because his opinion is the most important of all. Mr. Weatherman. Well, Mr. Weatherman's a scientist. And Mr. Weatherman looks at the weather from a scientific point of view. And from his point of view, the weather can be explained. You can look at his charts and he will show you where the pressure is and where the isobars are and where the fronts are. And using the information that he gathers, he can tell you why it's windy or why it's getting colder or why it's frosty or whatever. In his mind, it's all very systematic, all very scientific, all very easily explained. He's also someone who would predict the weather. And if you ask Mr. Weatherman, and Mr. Weatherman works for the Met Office, he'll take you into a room where there's a massive computer, one of the biggest computers in the world, one of the most powerful, and he will tell you that this computer has the capacity to receive information from weather stations all around the world and to run weather models on the basis of these for the days ahead. And he will tell you that his 24-hour forecast is extremely accurate. And he will tell you that he can be pretty confident about his 4-day forecast even. And even he can go a bit further ahead, but he will tell you as well there is a bit of chaos in the system and there is a bit of uncertainty because we can't take every factor into account yet. But he's quite pleased with his ability to predict the weather. And so in his mind, weather is something that's kind of mechanical. He'll also tell you, and we've had a lot about this in the news recently, that the weather is changing. The weather patterns are changing. He will tell you that there's a sense in which man has some control over the weather. Because the more we burn fossil fuels, he will say, the more CO2 we produce, the more greenhouse warming there will be as a result. And the more the climate will change. And he will tell you it's very important to try and avoid too much climate change because it could bring about catastrophic alterations to the patterns of the world's weather. And so we need to take certain actions in order to reduce the changes. Very, very scientific. Nature is something that he would explain to us, and he would see it as a closed system, as something that is, all you need is to know all the facts and the details, and you can explain the way things are working. It's interesting. But Mr. Plucktonian isn't quite so scientific, because he's got to live with the weather. And for him, or indeed Mrs. Plucktonian, the weather is something that you can't control. You have to take what you get. We're here today at the mercy of the weather. We have to accept whatever comes. And in this past week, I guess, we've had a fair variety of weather. We may not like it, or we may like it a lot. We may, of course, take ourselves off to some foreign country if we have the wherewithal, and try and get some better weather there. Some people do that from this country in the winter. Of course, they can't guarantee that when they arrive in Spain or wherever that the weather's going to be quite what they hope for, because you can't control the weather. So the person in the street has to just accept it and deal with it. Go into the wardrobe of the average Plucktonian then, and you will find beach shorts all the way through to waterproof trousers and every conceivable weather outcome is catered for in the wardrobe. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Plucktonian know that the weather determines what they do. They have to work around it. If they want to go sailing, there better be some wind. And if they want to dig the garden, then it better not be hailstones or wind and rain. Weather can be uplifting. Weather can be devastating. We've seen the devastation caused by flooding. Excessive rainfall, incredible rainfall in Cumbria. Murdoch was pointing out on the way down in the car, though, that he'd seen a news reel where the floods in Cumbria were one item, and the next item were floods in India, which were on a massive scale, which dwarfed the floods in Cumbria, and just put things in perspective completely. But nevertheless, if you're living with that, it's devastating. And in other parts of the world, we hear, for example, of Namibia just now, a country where one in three are in danger of malnutrition because it hasn't rained for years. And weather can reach that kind of extreme where it threatens life or where it takes life. One gust of wind or one bolt of lightning. So weather is very much something we are determined by and we can be victims of. And also, Mr. and Mrs. Plucktonian know that weather is variable from place to place and from hour to hour. And that's something the weatherman can't predict. He can tell us it's going to rain here and it doesn't rain. That happens actually, in my experience, a lot for some reason in La Hache. But anyway, that's a wee aside. The other day I was coming down from Achmore. I was coming down over Ochtertyre. And so I reached the top of the hill and looked out, and you know, on the left was Glenelg. And the sun was obviously blazing down in Glenelg. You see the sun just splitting the sky there. A little bit further around a slate, and there was what would have been probably a hail shower or sleet shower, sleet and slate, there you are. And a little further around in Kyle, it was cloudy, but it was dry. Just so local, the weather, so variable over short distances. And so we know that in reality it's not that predictable, but it's very much something we have to take account of in our jobs, in our leisure. It determines what we do, and we can't do anything about it. So it's a huge factor in our lives. But Mr. Psalmist would lift us up to a different way of thinking about weather. He wouldn't deny what the scientist says, and he wouldn't deny the experience of the Plucktonian, but he would bring us into a world which as Christians we should very much welcome, a world where the weather is God's weather. And so in verse 8, he covers the sky with clouds. He doesn't just say the clouds come over the sky. He says God covers the sky with clouds. God supplies the earth with rain and so on. So when we say we're at the mercy of the weather, the psalm would have us think in a different way. We're at the mercy of God. The weather may be something that we feel very much that we're subject to. But actually, what the psalmist is telling us is that that weather itself is subject to God. And so we are, in the weather, actually subject to God himself. That is the way it is. So in the psalmist's mind, weather is something God commands. In verse 15, God sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. And as a result, there's the snow and the frost and so on. Verse 18, he sends his word and he melts them, stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. Weather is commanded by God. The picture here then is that at the command center of the cosmos, God is there directing the weather in the world. Now we sometimes hear still about insurers speaking about acts of God, certain forms of weather, for example, that are extreme. And they won't insure acts of God. It's a way of getting out of having to pay up. Lets them off the hook. But in reality, what the psalmist would tell us is, all weather is an act of God. God doesn't just pop up occasionally and fling a thunderbolt, as pagan visions of God would have. He's everywhere in the weather. The weather is the weather he has commanded from beginning to end. And so the weather is obedient to God. Verse 16, he spreads the snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like pebbles. The weather is obeying his command. Now that may not always or usually be apparent to us. In fact, there are a few occasions when it is apparent in an obvious kind of way. I mean, there are a few stories given to us in the Bible where God's command of the weather is very clear. In the story of the flood, in the story of the famine in the days of Joseph, or again in the days of Elijah when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and then it did rain at God's word. And then Jesus, of course, calms the storm. You can probably think of other weather-related stories in the Bible where God's command of it is clear. Now, it may be that if the Met Office had been on the go in the days of Elijah, then they could have run the weather pattern of the world in their big computer and explained why there was 3.5 years of drought, why it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And no doubt there was some kind of global weather pattern that caused that to happen. But the fact is that God had commanded it. God had determined it. God had predicted it through Elijah and brought it to an end just as dramatically through the word of Elijah. So the weather is commanded and obedient to God. But it's also personal. This is where we need to try and appreciate that we're not just kind of victims caught up in some kind of battle of nature when the weather is buffeting us or inconveniencing us. There's a personal thing happening here. And it's intriguing the way the psalm expresses this. In verse 17, for example, it doesn't just speak about an icy blast of wind, it speaks about his icy blast. Or again in verse 18, his breezes. That the wind in the picture here is really God dealing with us. It's his wind. It's him exerting his power and his understanding towards us. Verse 5, he has great power. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And in his power and his understanding, the weather is something he personally deals with us through. Jesus spoke about this in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, God causes his sun, there it is again, his sun, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So God is actually dealing with us personally through the weather. And it's not surprising that that should be the case, because the psalm paints a picture of God as very much a personal God. So in verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And verse 6, he sustains the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. So the weather, as an expression of God's command, is something that God would use personally in our lives, and he may use it to sustain the humble. He may use it to cast the wicked to the ground. He may use it as his ministry of healing broken hearts. He may use it as a warning to us. What is God saying to us through the weather? Generally, it's something that is for our benefit in obvious ways. Like verse 8, we need the rain to make the grass grow and to satisfy us, verse 14, with the finest of wheat. We need for God to give us a variety of weather so that the earth can produce food. But God may be saying more personal things to us. If we have ears to hear, he may actually be addressing our lives through the weather. Sometimes the weather can create circumstances in our lives that fill us with wonder. The weather that enables a beautiful sunset. Or even just the way that, as it says, the frost is scattered like ashes on the fields of Drumbuie and Durnish today. And it's beautiful. And it can fill us with delight and wonder. Or the amazing feathery patterns on the car windscreen before you defrost it so you can dry your car. It's all very wonderful. If you have ears to see, ears to hear and eyes to see, then the weather can be something that can fill you with amazement and wonder and lift you up to God, and to seeing his power and his understanding and his goodness. But sometimes the weather can be a challenge. Someone was asking in the discussion group this week, how could they learn to be more patient? And I mean, the kind of standard answer that the Bible gives to that is that God tends to put us in situations where we need to be patient so we can learn patience. It's just like, how can we learn to get stronger arms when we need to exercise them? How can we learn to be patient? We need to exercise patience, and it'll become more vigorous in our lives. And the weather can certainly be something that can develop our characters. It can shape whole peoples. People who are exposed to very vigorous and challenging weather can develop a strength of character that perhaps wouldn't otherwise be the case. So the weather can benefit us. Can benefit us in terms of creating the conditions for the growth of food, but also it can create the conditions for the growth of character. There's always things that we do when we react to the weather that maybe need challenged. Like, for example, if we see on the weather chart that it's sunny in London and it's horribly cold and wet and harsh, then the next thing that we might think is, you know, kind of some uncharitable thought about the people in London, especially if it's been sunny in London for weeks. And then one day the cold front is sweeping up from the south and it's cold in London, but it's lovely and warm and harsh. And we think, aha, gotcha. And then we think, why are we thinking like that? That's so petty. That is so petty. And God challenges us through the weather. He challenges us. I remember many, many years ago when Alan Brown was minister. Alan always had lots of little stories. He ministered in the Church of Scotland, and he came in one day and it was a really unpleasant day. And he told a wee story about the Reverend Alexander White, who always, apparently, had a good comment about the weather in his service. And so the folk in the congregation were sitting, wondering what possible good could the Reverend White find to say about the weather that day. And in his prayer he said, "Lord, we thank you that all days are not like this day." So there's always a way of finding good to say about the weather. Finding a brighter outlook. So God may be speaking to us in all kinds of ways if we're just listening. Thinking about it, it can reveal so much about our character. And if we choose to, we can find our character sweetened and strengthened through right responses to the variety of weather that we have to enjoy and sometimes endure. On one occasion, Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people, and he tells them that they were great at predicting the weather. "When you see a cloud rising in the west," he says, "immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is." And then Jesus said this, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" You'll find that in Luke chapter 12. Well, what was Jesus saying? He was saying these people were brilliant at interpreting the signs of the weather. Through long experience, they knew what it was that various kinds of clouds meant, and the different directions of the wind meant, and so on. And they could work out what the weather would be for days to come on that basis. And he said, "You're so great at interpreting signs. Why don't you interpret me," he's saying to them, "and the signs that I'm performing for you? Why don't you just accept that because I'm doing these great miracles and I'm teaching these wonderful things, that God has come among you again, that the Messiah is here, that the kingdom of God has come, and receive me," he says. They were great at talking about the weather, but they weren't great at talking about Jesus. They could read the signs of the weather, but they couldn't read the signs, or they refused to read the signs that Jesus was giving to them. Yeah, let's have a great conversation about the weather. It's fascinating, and it's endlessly changeable. But let's also have a conversation about Jesus, because there's far more to talk about there. The riches of what he can show us are far greater than the weather. And let's see Jesus and his hand in the weather. Let's recognize that the weather and what we receive through it is just another part of God's overall sovereign care of our lives. And in it, he is calling us. He's calling us to recognize his kindness and his power, his goodness in our lives, and his readiness to teach us, to develop our character, and to change us, and to minister to us. So let's try and think about it, not just as the weatherman would have us think about it, or indeed as the average Ploctonian or Lachalshian or whatever they're called would have us talk about it. But let's see God in it. Let's see God in everything. And let's interpret not just the signs in the sky, but let's also interpret the signs in God's word, the signs that came to us through the life of Jesus. And let's interpret the weather in terms of what God may be wanting us to see and understand and know from His hand today, because it's personal. It's His weather. It's His world. We belong to Him. And He's dealing with us every day if we have eyes to see it. And so let us trust Him. And in our prayers, recognize His care and praise Him and thank Him and look to Him, because while we may not know what even the weather will be in 24 hours, we do know that God has planned and purposed eternal things for us. He determines the future. And if we are with Him, He'll be with us. Amen.